I'm Karen Given. Look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I've never been a fan of pro wrestling. It's always seemed like a sport defined by machismo, one that celebrates the worst parts of American culture. But over the past decade, a little space has been carved out for something different. The best way to understand that story might be to get to know wrestler Sam Khandagabadi. And just a note, we've tried to keep this one family friendly, but the pro wrestling world can get a little raunchy. You've been warned. Here's reporter Joseph Bean Khan.
I first met Sam Khandagabadi in 2014 at the Victory Warehouse. It's a sprawling beat-up building that looks more auto shop than home, surrounded by a fenced-in concrete yard in a tough part of Oakland. I'd arrived to cover Hood Slam, the ultra-popular indie Oakland wrestling show. Sam, skinny but strong, with a mess of dark, curly hair, was more than happy to play my Vice magazine story's leading man.
All right, well, it's just a start.
Seated on a couch, chain-smoking cigarettes in a leather jacket, Sam ran through a list of skills and credits that served as a kind of resume to start Hood Slam.
I've done theater, I've done high school wrestling, I did martial arts, I've done short films, I've done adult film. I've done a lot of things. I won an award.
Sam took a pull from a cigarette, probably to hide a grin, as I excitedly scratched the quote into my notebook. Last November, I met Sam again for a profile in the San Francisco Chronicle. As we walked to grab dinner, the wrestler admitted that the character I'd written about a half decade earlier was an illusion. The person Sam showed me now was different. Less anxious, more open, and far from a leading man. Sam was born in Alpharetta, Georgia, the youngest of two brothers in a white southern town. It was a place where an Iranian-American last name like Khandagabadi was commented upon by students and teachers alike. Sam had a cousin who wore a cross every day. He said he liked the way it looked.
But it was for protection, not from the devil, but from people around him. He knew that being how he looked, if he wore a cross, that people would give him less grief. You know, much of my family around then would change their names from Mahmoud to Mike, from Freydun to David, from Farouk to Frank.
That feeling of being other was accentuated when Sam's mother passed away from cancer when Sam was just 10. Sam retreated inward in a home now overflowing with grief.
There was three bodies in there, me, my brother, and my father, but it might as well have been no one as far as the feelings going on in that, inside those walls. You know, I usually wouldn't tell people my mother had passed unless, you know, once they knew, like, okay, but it wasn't information I'd give up freely because I thought once I did, people would pity me. And that was something I was afraid of. I thought it was more important for me to look tough or look fierce or for someone to think I'm a jerk or a clown or anything other than someone that needed help. But that's what I was. I was all of those things, but I was also deep down someone that needed some help. And I didn't want anyone to know that.
So Sam turned elsewhere.
I went into comic books. I went into wrestling. I went into these fantasy worlds where people had problems, but they were able to beat them, you know, in 30 pages or in a 15-minute match.
When Sam was in eighth grade, the Khandagabadis moved to Northern California's East Bay. Sam found there was value in seeming like he didn't care and got tough and wild. Sunglasses, baseball hats, a beard, and whatever drugs were in reach.
I was shaving my head. I was wearing, you know, just A shirts and jeans every day. Not a lot of color, that's for sure. But it was very masculine, hyper-masculine, because it's what people were starting to like about me was, you know, my aggressive tendencies, my chest hair, you know, my physical capabilities. They all geared themselves towards more of a masculine persona.
At age 14, after years of watching pro wrestling and attending local shows, Sam started to train to be a pro wrestler. At 16, Sam got to perform for the first time in the ring.
They told me on day one that I would be a Sheik character. I would be a Middle Eastern villain.
For decades, Middle Eastern wrestlers, or even wrestlers that could pass as Middle Eastern, had been cast as Sheiks, cartoonish, America-hating villains.
And they actually had all these creative names, like Sheik Osama this, or Sim Sim Salabim. I'll never forget that one. All kinds of fun ideas of what my name should be. But I luckily put my foot down on there and was able to choose a name that I was not so embarrassed by, Sheik Khanabadi, which is a play off of my last name, Khandagabadi.
As a young wrestling fan attending shows, Sam remembers pulling a hat low when Sheik characters would perform. After 9/11, it felt unsafe to be Middle Eastern at the events. Now, right at the start of a career, Sam was being asked to speak in Farsi during matches, to rile up the crowd, and even once to use the back of a burqa-wearing female wrestler as a step into the ring. Sam refused. But Sam played the heel, the villain, and the crowd's anti-Arab racism curdled jeers into something darker.
Anytime I tried to watch someone like me, I got to watch thousands of people boo them, throw trash at them. And then I got to live it. You know, they tried to fight me, they followed me to my car after the show.
Traditional wrestling was never going to be the right fit. Sam graduated high school in 2003 and worked odd jobs to make rent for nearly a decade, picking up shifts at cannabis clubs, the North Face outlet, and as a pizza delivery driver. It was 7 years in limbo, working to pay rent and wrestling on the side.
I found a warehouse, you know, I ate beef jerky and you know, tiny snacks. I had more cigarettes than food.
Then, in April 2010, Sam borrowed a wrestling ring from a friend and hosted the first Hood Slam. This would be a show where anything went, where wrestlers could lean into their inner nerd, or their inner stoner, or their inner weirdo. It would be vulgar, oddball, transgressive wrestling. Just as likely to feature a cocaine-fueled character named Drugs Bunny as grown men wrestling as Super Nintendo characters. The first few Hood Slams are free.
It went from, you know, maybe 20 people the first few shows to over 200 people and like overflowing out of that venue within a year.
Once they started charging for tickets, the crowds only grew. These days, the wrestlers jokingly refer to it as the accidental phenomenon.
There was a lot of word of mouth that we were doing something different, and it wasn't the wrestling that people thought they knew.
Hood Slam events were filled with ideas that would never survive the WWE writing room. There were iron lung matches where a wrestler had to finish a blunt before the other got up off the mat. There were strange cosplay fantasies ripped from wrestlers' favorite 80s movies or from video games. But at the end of 2014, Sam had an idea that felt transgressive and scary, even for Hood Slam. Sam knew it felt risky. It must be good. Sam had been wrestling as female characters more and more often during Hood Slam shows, and had heard some other wrestlers mention they were interested in trying it as well. What if they did a drag wrestling night? Sam wanted a night of wrestling, a sport defined by over-the-top performative masculinity, where fans and wrestlers alike would be their most feminine selves. So Sam pitched the idea to the locker room of wrestlers. It would be called Femmed Out.
I wanted them to all step out of their comfort zone and do something different that, one, would be fun for us, but two, would let all of our audience know that we want people to come however they are. And this was a big part of that.
During the run-up to the first Femmed Out, Sam went out on the town and drag for the first time.
You know, at the time, I considered it research.
But questions about gender had been present for as long as Sam could remember. There were many days spent looking in the mirror and thinking. There was a childhood dream about a rainbow you could walk under and come out the other gender. A few months later, Sam was asked to perform at a burlesque show in Alameda in drag and came along with a handful of wrestling friends. Later in the night, Sam was working the Hood Slam merch booth. A man stared from across the room. He'd been aggressive with some other wrestlers earlier at the event.
Eventually, I was like, I'm not having this anymore. And I told the person I was dating at the time, like, I'm just going to go outside. And as we turned to leave, he followed me. He grabbed the wig off of my head. Him and a bunch of friends kind of surrounded me. And as I kind of cocked back to unload a punch on him, security grabbed me in a chokehold and dragged me outside. and I didn't understand what had gone wrong.
For 3 years, the thoughts about gender had gotten louder and louder, but this violence, Sam admits, worked to quiet them. Then, at the beginning of 2018, Sam spoke with a trans friend, trying to stay vague to keep some cover. Sam wanted to know how you know for certain that you're trans.
And what he said to me was, if you feel like you can't live in this body another moment, like you would rather die than be who you are, then that's how you know. And if otherwise, you know, you're probably not. And I did not feel that way. So I kind of put it back to the side and ignored it for a little bit. And, you know, I had all these other things I wanted to kill myself about. So that one hadn't made its way to the front yet.
But those looks in the mirror and the thoughts that never seemed to go away were getting impossible to ignore. Last March, Sam, wearing a crop top, tights, and an orange wig, had just finished a match in front of a packed crowd at the Oakland Metro Opera House. The wrestler was 10 years into running one of the most successful indie shows on the West Coast, and it was International Women's Day. It felt as good of a time as any, so Sam grabbed the mic.
Now, I'd like to say with my makeup crop top and my wig falling off my head, is that I've been doing HRT for about 12 weeks.
Sam had started hormone replacement therapy in December 2018. Now under the stage lighting, standing along the edge of the ring, she came out publicly as trans. When Sam wrestles these days at shows other than Hood Slam, especially outside of Oakland, she now hears the insults, gay slurs, and more. She hears the whispers in locker rooms. Some promoters make fans come up and apologize, but Sam says she doesn't need it. She's had a lifetime of playing the heel, in Alpharetta, in the East Bay, and then in the ring. She knows some people hate her for what she is, but she also feels like herself, maybe for the first time.
You know, it washed over me. I can't really say, but like there was a light and I finally stepped into it.
If you could talk to yourself as a 17-year-old, 16-year-old starting out in wrestling, what advice would you give? Like, what have you learned?
I tell myself to trust myself. It's hard when you think you're broken and you don't trust your own decisions. But, you know, broken people can be right sometimes too. And they can heal, more importantly.
That story came from reporter Joseph Bean Kahn. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Hood Slam hasn't held a live event since March 6th. Sam's not sure what the future holds for her wrestling series, but she hopes that her days in the ring are not over.